Welcome to SCOTUS Cast, Same-Sex Marriage Edition. Thank you for tuning in. On June 26, 2015, the Supreme Court decided Obergefell v. Hodges. This highly anticipated case concerned two questions. The first is whether states are required by the 14th Amendment to grant marriage licenses to same-sex couples. The second question is whether states are required by the 14th Amendment to recognize the marriages of same-sex couples who were lawfully married in a different state. In a 5-4 opinion delivered by Justice Kennedy, the Supreme Court held that states are required by the 14th Amendment to grant marriage licenses to same-sex couples. On the second question, the Supreme Court held that states are required by the 14th Amendment to recognize the marriages of same-sex couples lawfully married out of state. Justices Ginsburg, Breyer, Sotomayor, and Kagan joined the opinion of the court. Chief Justice Roberts filed a dissenting opinion, which Justices Scalia and Thomas joined. Justice Scalia filed a dissenting opinion, which Justice Thomas joined. Justice Thomas filed a dissenting opinion, which Justice Scalia joined. Justice Alito filed a dissenting opinion, which Justices Scalia and Thomas joined. The judgment of the Sixth Circuit was reversed. To discuss the case, we have John Eastman, who is the Henry Salvatore Professor of Law and Community Service at Chapman University Fowler School of Law, and Ilya Shapiro, who is Senior Fellow in Constitutional Studies at the Cato Institute. As always, the Federalist Society takes no position on particular legal or public policy issues. All expressions of opinion are those of the speakers. And now, Mr. Shapiro.
Well, I think everyone expected on both sides what was going to happen, not necessarily today, although June 26th is the day apparently for gay rights, because Lawrence and Windsor were also decided on June 26th. So 5-4, Justice Kennedy for the majority, joined by the so-called liberals, saying that there's a constitutional right for gay and lesbian couples to get marriage licenses, at least so long as everyone else gets them. My personal position is I question why government's involved in marriage in the first place, but anyhow, a little unclear why that is, and that's also Kennedy-esque. Clearly under the 14th Amendment, we know that much. Clearly both the Equal Protection Clause and the Due Process Clause do the work to get there, not clear exactly how. Something like there's a fundamental right to be with the one you love, and to have the state recognize that, if they recognize it, if they have this institution, and it violates a constitutional principle of equality to deny that right on the basis of sexual orientation, or that the state doesn't have any other strong enough reason to draw its licensing regime in the way that it does. Often soaring rhetoric by Kennedy, as we expect, a lot of discussion of the facts, the people involved, no the kind of technocratic legalese about standards of review and scrutiny and that sort of thing, which I kind of appreciate, because that's kind of a technical artifice anyway that bifurcates or trifurcates our rights. But, you know, unclear what we do with this exactly in terms of, is the court saying that you can never discriminate based on sexual orientation, or what a good enough reason is, or is marriage just unique, a unique type of institution? We don't really know, but we do know that denying marriage licenses on the basis of sexual orientation violates the 14th Amendment. And it's interesting that the four so-called conservatives dissented, and each one wrote separately, which is very interesting. I haven't gone through all of the dissents, but they seem to all be riffing on the same basic point. John will go into this in more detail, that this isn't a decision that should be made by judges. As Chief Justice Roberts concludes, you can celebrate this opinion, you can glory in it, you can celebrate the availability of new benefits or expression of commitment to a partner, but don't celebrate the Constitution. It has nothing to do with it. Now, I think he would have a lot more credibility in saying that had he not ruled and written the way he did in the Obamacare cases, but I guess that's by the by. And you know, Alito has some very good language. I mean, it's, you know, they sort of, in my view, ultimately why I side with the Kennedy side, although not I wouldn't have written it necessarily the way that Kennedy had, is that the dissenters, to me, sort of beg the question. That is, well, yes, the states get to decide, except when they violate individual rights. So are they violating an individual right here? And that obviously is the point of contention. Turn it over to John.
Thanks very much. Obviously, not an unexpected, but nevertheless a very disappointing decision. I think Chief Justice Roberts' principal dissent, I think, characterizes it. It says the majority's decision is an act of will, not legal judgment. the right it announces has no basis in the Constitution or this court's precedent. And then the kind of overarching theme of all four of the dissents is the arrogance of the court in taking an issue away from the people. And Roberts, I think, captures that as well. The court invalidates the marriage laws of more than half the states and orders the transformation. See, we're not just talking about an extension, but the transformation of a social institution that has formed the basis of human society for millennia, from the Kalahari Bushmen and the Han Chinese, the Carthaginians and the Aztecs. Just who do we think we are? That, I think, that theme, just who do we think we are, or you know, you might put in the less judicious language, who the hell do we think we are, is kind of at the core of the thing. The notion that the 14th Amendment, in drafting, the drafters of the 14th Amendment are those people who ratified it, when they put in that sweeping language of, you know, protection of life, liberty, and property without due process of law from infringement against the state, would mandate the redefinition of a core social institution that is both religiously and biologically grounded. It's just surreal beyond belief. And yet Justice Kennedy, in language that really doesn't focus on whether it's due process or equal protection, he can't seem to get the two, but if we stick them together in this confluence of it, it offends dignity. Not to have the state lay its hands on your relationship and give it the benefit of its approval. Because nobody was interfering with the right of any two people to engage in whatever kind of conduct they wanted. We're talking about the obligation of the state to confer on your decisions and how you engage in personal conduct the state's judgment of its approval. And if that's what the institution of marriage is about, well, then as Justice Roberts point out, why is it limited to two? Why are all the other restrictions that are longstanding on marriage going to survive this newfound right of the court unless five members of the court decide not to? And it's that issue that all four of the dissenters point out, that when we get unmoored from the text, the history and traditions that inform the text, the legal authority that gives primacy to that text, of those who ratified it and what they had in mind, then we're completely unmoored. None of them cite Lincoln, but Lincoln's first inaugural address, I think, here is very apt, that if we think that the judgment of five members of the court settle contested social policy issues like this, take them away from the people, we'll cease to be a self-governing people and will have instead handed over governing authority to that unelected body. So this is now, I think, a case that's emblematic of a much bigger fight than same-sex marriage. But on the utter supremacy of the court to decide questions that for which there really is very little constitutional basis for it. And I think the way Ilya described Justice Kennedy's opinion and the difficulty of pointing out just what the legal analysis is, I think highlights the concern expressed by all four of the dissenters.
Thank you for listening to this episode of SCOTUS Cast. For more episodes of SCOTUS Cast, as well as audio and video of past Federalist Society events, please visit our website at www.federalistsociety.org/multimedia.